Warning, the following program contains open expression that some may find offensive. Language is used freely under the direct authority of the Constitution of the United States of America.
This podcast is a member of the Detroit Podcasters Network.
Detroit Podcasters Network.
Coming at you from I-94 and I-75. Representing the ongoing struggle to realize the renaissance in Detroit, you have found the Ole Rush. Allow me to introduce the big baby P.
I need a drink.
The front woman of the pills, Miss Danny Catastrophe.
What up, bitches?
The engineer, D. Sway. And for me, myself, and the all-seeing eye, Magnanimous. And now, Oled Ezra.
What's up, internet in the beautiful yet broke city of Detroit, Michigan? You are listening to the 101st episode of the Olin Ezra Show, Detroit's underground talk revolution. Make sure to check us out online at theolinezrashow.com. From there, you can link to our web, through to our MySpace, Facebook, and Twitter. You got something to say, call in to the ever popular call-in line, 313-312-4524. And remember,
operators are standing by.
That's right. K-Hub is standing by, waiting to assist everyone make a connection to the OE shows. I love it. 313-312-4524 is the number. This week we got Mike from the band Jiva. He's going to come in a little bit. We're going to talk to him about what Jiva's got going on. They're doing some big things with some amazing producers. So we're going to see what they're working on. We also, Danny was in the trenches of Mayhem Fest as well, and she was able to get an interview with Jeff the drummer from In This Moment. We're going to get to that. And I also got a chance to interview Big J Okerson, who is a comedian that happens to also love metal music and his grandma. And that's going to be coming up in a little bit too. So Danny.
And his grandma.
Danny's back, Les.
Danny's back.
I'm back. It feels so good.
This is the first time Danny and I have been in the studio together. And I'm like,
I know.
I'm like, have goosebumps. I have goosebumps.
Les is freaking out over there.
That's
and I'm
creepy.
Sitting next to
that's
her.
That's creepy.
I'm really sitting next to her. You know, I can almost like hug her. Well, I did right there just for a second.
Was I just sexually harassed by the creepy postman, a.k.a. Les Aldor?
Les Aldor
Go tell the HR person. Dylan's the HR person.
If you've been to the OlinEzraShow.com, you can see that the posts are much more descriptive now and much better. And that's because Les Zaldor is the Olin Ezra Show's official brand new postmaster because he just killed it.
And we have deemed him the creepy postman.
The creepy postman. So if you agree with that statement, Les Zaldor is the creepy postman.
Need, like, we need like theme song for that or something, or you know, some kind of intro, or maybe some Zaldor plug would be good right now.
That's good. Well, you also have your own show, right?
I'm looking for my Zaldor, you know, drop right now.
ZALDOR.com.
There we go. I feel much better now. I feel at home now.
Zeldor, did you hear the episode when we discussed what we thought that you might be doing when you listened to that plug?
And it wasn't too far from the truth.
Okay. So there was rubbing of nipples.
There was rubbing of nipples, and I like pump my fists when I hear that every time, and you know. You can ask the country coworker. He watches me when I listen to that song.
It's
that,
like
that drop right there.
Mr. T's old wrestling music, American Hero, is playing in the background.
That's
like,
right.
I'm a real American hero. All right, I'm done. I'm done with that. So anyway, enough of this BS. Les, what's that in your hand?
Beer of the week.
It is a Xingu beer from Brazil. Got something a little different this time. It's a black beer, which is named after the Xingu River on the Amazon rainforest.
So the river itself is black.
Well, I don't know about the river, but it's, you know, it's inspired off old recipes of an old Indian beer, Xingu Black. It's an old-time winner of a Beverage Tasting Institute gold medal. As the best lager in the world.
So this like goes back to the Aztec
best lager
slash.
In the world.
That's what it says. Best lager in the world.
It's pretty good.
I didn't think it was that good.
I poured it into a glass. I'm not a fan of dark beer,
I poured it
into the glass, and it kind of looked like old grandma's cough syrup.
It looked like
so
that,
I was,
but
and it had the same consistency too, and like even the head of the beer jiggles. It's the weirdest damn thing. It's like
you just didn't pour it right, Olin. That was the problem.
Who knows? Who knows what? I do everything wrong, but that's neither here nor there. It's just it was good.
It was good. It had a little nice taste to it.
Black. I hate dark beer.
But it wasn't really bad dark beer like Guinness's.
No, I don't like Guinness. I'm not a fan of Guinness.
Neither am I.
What do you think about Guinness, Danny?
Yeah, I guess she likes Guinness.
I think it's all right.
All right. If you had to choose between Guinness and St. Ides, where would
What's St. Ides?
St. Ides.
St. Ides is the finest of finest malt liquor beverages that you can get in the
Saint
nicest.
Oh, St. Ides for sure. Say no more.
Yeah, the malt liquor.
You had me at malt. Malt,
I think it's got formaldehyde in it. It has, you know, ground up baby parts in it. Who knows what it has in it? It just gets you jacked up.
Does it have zipperfish remnants?
We'll have to get to that
later. We'll have to get to that later. Okay. So this Xingu beer is spelled XINGUBEER.com. Is where you can get all the information about them, and they've been around since 1987. They started their brewery down in Brazil, and it was just found an old brewery that he had somebody where he wanted to do a Brazilian beer, and it's actually pretty good. It's been you can buy it in United States, Europe, Australia, and I think it said France on here too.
And that's spelled with X. It's like X. How do you spell it?
XINGU.
How much does a sixer run you?
You know, I think it's about the normal price, about like $9.99 for a six.
Okay,
that's not too bad. At least it's under $10.
Yeah,
because you get over $10, and it's like, you know, you're being sodomized at checkout. And I'm not, you know, while the beer may be good, I'm not a fan of, you know, dropping half of my paycheck on a six pack.
I think Magnano's beer at one point got up to like a four pack at like $24.95.
Yeah,
it was something ridiculous.
You get some expensive stuff in there.
Hey,
that's...
give it up to Magnano, because every week that man had brought a different flavor of beer every single time. I don't know.
I will try to keep that tradition going. Last week we had a cherry beer. This is a black. I don't have it right now, but black beer.
A black beer.
Black
What's
beer,
next
you guys
week?
Tasted. I don't know what next week might bring. We'll see.
I wish Big Baby P was still here, because he would definitely want to sample whatever flavor Smirnoff pomegranate you could throw his way, because Pat loved his Smirnoff pomegranate.
I will have to say that I found out about this beer from the picnic that my company threw on Friday. So I found out from Xingu Beer that my coworker brought it, and we tried it there.
Nice.
And yeah, so me and the country coworker probably had one of these, I think.
It's nice. Hey, speaking of the country coworker, we're going to hear from him in a little bit, and that's kind of strange, but what is it? Xingu?
Xingu.
Xingu?
Xingu. XINGU.
And it's old, it's good beer. It's like Jell-O beer. It's amazing.
I wouldn't say it's Jell-O beer.
It's Jell-O beer. So what did you think, Danny, in this moment is what to you?
One of my favorite bands. So seriously, this interview to me was just like a dream come true. And I was hoping and praying that I'd get to interview Maria, because she's like my girl crush, my ultimate girl crush. But, I got to interview Jeff, the drummer, which was the next best thing, and he was cool as fuck.
Well, let's. Cool. This next interview is Danny interviewing Jeff, the drummer, from In This Moment.
All right, Jeff, how's it going, dude?
It's going really awesome. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I just caught your set. It was absolutely amazing. And welcome to Detroit. Welcome to Mayhem Fest.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, this festival has just been awesome from the beginning. It's like a big heavy metal circus, you know, summer camp.
It's like a big heavy metal circle jerk, if you will.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is.
So the tour has been going great. When you guys found out that you had the spot on Mayhem this year, what was the band that you were most psyched to be sharing the stage with?
Oh, I mean, like, you know, Atreyu, Norma Jean. I mean, 3 Inches of Blood. I've known them since we did Ozfest with them in 2007, and I just love them. Like, I love their bands, you know? Like, I love that metal, and so I was really excited, you know? And then it's just like, we know a lot of these bands already from either touring or festivals or whatever. So it's just been really comfortable since day one. And everyone gets along. There's no drama.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's just been so rad. So
you guys have toured with some of the bands before, right? Like Zombie and Five Finger Death Punch.
Five Finger Death Punch, yep. I mean, it's just so, it was real comfortable.
That's cool.
From the beginning, yeah.
And you guys just released your new album, which is Starcross Wasteland.
Yep, July 13th.
July 13th. And you guys did a couple of your new songs tonight.
Yep.
How is the new material been received on the tour so far?
It's been really good. Everyone's coming to the shows. They're singing the lyrics, so that always feels good. You know, they're not just standing there like deer in the headlights. Like, what the hell is this?
Right.
You know, so, yeah, it's been really good. And, you know, everyone seems to really enjoy the record. So we're really stoked on that, you know.
And it seems like it's a lot heavier from the Dream.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and it's just, it's dark. The vibe is darker. I mean, we were just all in a different place when we wrote the record. So, you know, there's a lot of things going on in our personal lives that kind of came out in the writing. So.
Right. So that was like a conscious decision to kind of go a little bit heavier.
Well,
this time
you know, we were going to go heavier too. We were like, you know, we are a metal band and, you know, we like that too. I mean, we like a lot of different things, you know. So when we wrote The Dream, it wasn't like, we're going to go softer.
we're going to write a soft record. It's just kind of like what happened.
Right.
You know, so, you know, we got a little flack from that, from our metal fans that like us for the heaviness. And we like that, too. We like the heaviness. And that's what kind of got us noticed anyway.
Right.
With Maria, you know, being able to sing and scream. So we were like, yeah, let's write a heavier record, you know.
And I checked out you guys' video for The Gun Show, which is so badass, dude.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, it's like an old Western movie meets like a metal video.
Yeah.
And where did that come from? Where did the inspiration for that come from?
Well, it was kind of like, you know, with the whole vibe of the song, Gun Show, and we, you know, so we were thinking, all right, well, that's cool. And then Maria was like, well, I want to get a bunch of, you know, girls dressed up as cowgirls. And we were, of course, all the dudes were like, all
right. Right, right.
No problem.
We're into it.
Yeah, yeah, so... And then we did it on this little ranch, so it just all came out, you know, it all came together and it worked, and we had our fans come out and sing, you know, get in the video, like, so that was cool, we could do something for them.
Where was that filmed at?
It was, I want to say Santa Clarita, something like that.
In Cali?
Yeah.
Okay.
California, yep.
And now, and one question that I wanted to ask that I didn't write down, but it just kind of, I was thinking about it today, Star-Cross Wasteland, is that any sort of reference to L.A.? Because I know you guys are from L.A. originally.
No, it's just a reference of, well, of course, it's kind of like apocalyptic, mm-hmm. but it's also like, it's resembles new beginnings, you know? Like, in life, in relationships, in love, however you want to think about it. It's kind of like that. So everyone thinks it's like, oh, well, it's an apocalyptic thing, and it's the end of the world. And I mean, you can see it that way, or you can see it as new beginnings.
Right. And that's something that I've always loved about you guys, is like, you kind of mix like the really heavy, dark stuff with like something beautiful to be found, you know?
Right, out of it.
So that's cool. So let me ask you a question. I mean, like, you guys are, you're a female-fronted band, a metal band, in primarily, like, you know, a metal-driven dude's world. So... what have been, like, the advantages of that? What have been the disadvantages?
Well, we stick out.
Yeah.
Advantage number one. you know, Maria's no joke. I mean, she pulls it off. She does her thing, you know what I mean? She screams really awesome, and she sings well. Great. So, I mean, for me, I don't know. I've been in a band with her for so long that it doesn't seem any different to me that she's
right.
a woman. So, like, that, when people ask me that question, I'm like, well, yeah, that's right. I am in a female-fronted band. I mean, on this tour, since we're the only female-fronted
right.
band, it's pretty awesome. You know what I mean? So
it's way awesome. And I got to say, for your set, I mean, like, my husband's a big Hatebreed fan, and we watched them right before you guys, and, you know, they brought it. But your set, it was, like, it was the heaviest, most intense, biggest mash pit, you know, that we saw of the day. So...
and then, you know, and then she comes out and she, you know, she gets the circle pit going, which is pretty badass too. I mean, she goes out there with all those dudes who've been drinking or whatever they've been
right.
doing all day, and they're all rowdy, and, you know, she, you know, and she makes it happen. It's cool. I think it works to our advantage, honestly.
Cool.
But I don't think it's not like this thing where she can't, it's, you know, she can't pull it off. You know what I mean? Like, she tears it up, you know what I mean? So, I don't know, it's legit. To me.
Right, so it's like, if anybody had any doubts, like, she, like, supersedes that.
If you got any doubts, come to the show and we'll show you.
Cool. Well, we got to wrap it up. Any last things that you want to say? Any shout-outs? Any things you want to plug?
Sure, you know, shout-out to all of our fans, and thank you for all the support and coming to the shows and knowing the lyrics and all the new songs. And if you haven't got the new record, go out and get the new record, because I think you're going to be really surprised and you're going to be banging your head against the wall.
Awesome. Thanks, Jeff, so much.
Well, thank you.
Did you mention to people that they can call in live during the show anytime?
Well, to 313-312-4524. Excuse
right.
me. 313-312-4524. Call
anytime
us in.
Call in.
Keep us entertained.
Anything
I mean, say
you
whatever.
Want to talk about.
Any kind of crazy, disgusting, vile, weird, raunchy shit.
Because we don't get enough of that from Olin.
If you want to talk about wearing Zaldor's ass as a hat, feel free to call in anytime to 313-312-4524. That number again, one more time, just to make you guys cringe, that one more time, 313-312-4524. But anyway, we have two amazing comments this week. One of them obviously being hip hop trivia, which hopefully if you guys call, we can actually give you guys the prize tonight, which is a pair of tickets, two tickets to the Detroit Rock Review relaunch party going down this Saturday, September 25th at
The Emerald.
At the Emerald Theater, featuring Cody Stage Fright and Hush. So that's good. And we also got a comment from somebody that likes to call himself CCW. However, that does not stand for concealed whatever it stands for.
Concealed weapons.
Something. Who knows?
Concealed carried weapons.
Is that it?
I think so.
Carrier of concealed weapons. That's it. Anyway, it's the country coworker.
Doggy. Here's the country coworker, and well, I'm not live on Old Ezra, but well, it was pretty cool listening to him be live the other night. Yeah, I was over to Mug and Doug, and the telephone it wasn't working, so I couldn't call in. But that sure was funnier than hell. Bad part is well, I got two words stuck in my head now. The first one, that's right, the first one. Out there, first word is asshat. I got that stuck in my head. Now, everybody I run around and I run into say, asshat, asshat. Then the second word is zipperfish. Now, everybody ought to have zipperfish stuck on their mind. At least all the guys and maybe some of the ones that ain't guys and they're really girls. Anyway, I'll let you think about that one. Say it!
You know,
he'll let us ponder that.
That was
deep.
Hold on, man.
You know, the thing is, he was saying asshat all week.
Was he really?
Since he was listening to the show last Sunday.
So what do you think about the word? Is asshat played out? Is the word of the week asshat played out yet?
No, I don't think so.
No? I don't know.
We can still use asshat from now on.
Well, it can always
I called you an asshat a couple times before the show.
That's just because that's what I do, Zaldor. That's where I shine the best is when I'm...
Being an asshat.
Being... worn as a hat of ass. Anyway, well, since country coworker that you said the second word of the week, I think that we're going to talk about the word of the week right now. And Olin Ezra's word of the week this week is zipperfish. Now, let me use this in a sentence just so that you guys understand, because it was obviously popular, and the country coworker is not the only man that has brought up zipperfish. So I wanted to make sure that it was good enough to be the word of the week. It obviously is. Let me use it in a sentence.
Please do.
Zaldor ate a hefty portion of zipperfish Friday night.
How did you know?
I'm vomiting. I just vomited.
Dylan, we need a rag because Dan, yeah.
Bring the bucket in here.
Les, you still have some on your shirt, buddy. You might want to get a washcloth.
It makes me want to jump out the window.
Danny, would you ever eat a hearty portion of zipperfish?
How dare you?
Have you ever eaten a hearty portion of zipperfish?
How dare you, Zaldor?
Would you like to?
If any of the listeners have ever eaten a hearty portion
Karen,
of zipperfish, 313-312-4524. Damn it, Zaldor. Just relax.
I'm sorry.
Zipperfish.
I just get excited. Because last week when I was trying to compare penis sizes with you.
Done. Done. Ryan B. called with Hip Hop Trivia, and he had this to say.
Maybe.
Wait.
Hey, this is Ryan B. from the band Aerosmith.
Sweet.
I thought it was funny. Hip hop trivia, here we go. Star Wars director George Lucas and rock band Van Halen both sued this rap group. For 7 points, name the rap group.
Wow.
That's my froggy that I keep in my shower. I'm serious.
His shower that he just recently painted.
That's right. That he painted. Ryan B's Rubber Froggy coming at you with this week's hip-hop trivia.
But you know what? I have a question. Why doesn't Ryan B just call into the show to 313-4...
Wow,
313-312-4524 and just give us that trivia live? Why does he have to leave a message?
I'm not sure. I think
he should just call in live and give it to us live so we can actually, maybe he can stand the line and we can get somebody to call in at the same time. He can actually congratulate the winner of the one that answers his hip-hop trivia question.
Ryan B., if you are out there listening, please call in and satiate Zaldor, because Zaldor told me before the
pissed.
Show, he pulled me off to the side and he's like,
call in.
How dare this be a comment? Zaldor is calling you out, Ryan B. Zaldor wants you to call into the Olin Ezra show.
313-312-4524.
Let us know
Ryan
what's
B.
going on.
Ryan B. from the Potty Mouth Sissies, I want you to call in tonight.
But anyway, if you do have the answer to this week's hip-hop trivia, please give us a call at that number. Danny.
Thank you for not saying it again. Thank you.
No, 313-312-4524. Danny, you have a douchebag.
I do.
It's the taint stain or taint stain.
That's all I got.
The dirty taint stain of the week.
I'm sorry, Danny. I forgot.
It is a taint stain. It is a taint stain.
It is the taint stain of the week. We changed it, and I don't know why. I completely freaking forgot. So anyway, Danny, your taint stain of the week.
This is a good one. I haven't been here for a couple weeks, so I had to go big or go home. And this just goes along.
You.
I missed you guys too. Not Zelda. I missed you guys.
I've never been here with her.
Well.
I feel. Go ahead. Continue.
I'm just joking, Zelda. I love you. Okay, so this goes along with my theory that nothing good ever happens at Walmart. This further proves my fucking theory.
Have you ever gone to Walmart? It just sucks.
I'm going to be honest with you. I've never once been in a Walmart.
You've never been in a Walmart?
Never been in a Walmart
fist for that
in my entire life.
I'm not even that cool. I've actually been there. So
I was there just within the last month.
How dare you? I actually haven't been to Walmart in about a year, but...
Well, let me ask you a question. If you, at any one of your Walmart trips, have you ever grabbed a Sports Illustrated from the magazine rack and then headed to the toy section, proceeded to jack off in the toy section...
Yeah, about 3 weeks ago.
And then wiped your semen on a lightsaber toy?
No.
That got out there? No, but...
okay, this guy...
So wait...
Let me back up. William Tyler Black, he's a 28-year-old substitute teacher. He was arrested earlier this week on...
What is he doing teaching children?
Yeah, exactly.
There isn't a screening process for this?
Dude,
How do you screen against this, though?
What in the hell is wrong with the school system that they let someone that masturbates all over lightsabers in a Walmart to Sports Illustrated, which isn't even porn, teacher?
This is part of my problem. That's part of my main problem. So, okay, this dude goes into a Walmart. He grabs a magazine, a Sports Illustrated. He goes to the toy aisle. He jacks off and this is it during like day hours.
Was
it like the swimsuit
edition or was it Barry Bonds?
No, it was a swimsuit edition. But still, dude, I mean, if you're who over like the age of 13 masturbates to Sports Illustrated?
Oh, my.
Olin did.
Well, silence, Les. Enough
sorry,
of that.
Sorry.
All right.
And then. I mean, if you're jacking off, don't you want to kind of be in, like, the comfort of your home? Do you want to kind of be, like, you want to be able to enjoy, like, kind of take it as you go? Like, you're not going to, like, who wants to do it in the toy aisle of Walmart?
Well, obviously this guy, because he's mad at the children of society
there
or something.
There.
So he was able to finish.
He was able to finish.
He finished the act in the aisle at Walmart.
And then
in the toy aisle.
He wiped his... semen-stained penis and hands on a lightsaber.
I know
toy.
The listeners want to know this very pertinent question. How did he wipe the semen onto the lightsaber? Did he just wipe it on there like, oh, this is gross?
You know, I wonder
if
the same thing.
Or did he use a hefty stroking motion?
I think it, like, got on his hand. I don't know if he actually wiped his penis on the lightsaber. I think he, like, had it all over his hand, and then he probably just, like, smeared... Like, he probably grabbed the closest toy and, like, smeared it on. But wouldn't you just, like, wipe it on your pants?
Well, usually,
in my situation, I wipe it on my girlfriend because that's
what,
you
know. A sock
or
a girlfriend or a
sometimes,
a
you
towel,
know.
Towel.
The floor, but then I wipe it up, but
too.
No one's there.
Or an Ink Addict jerk-off sock.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Kicking
an
old school to our amazing sponsor, Ink Addict. They do carry a special line of OlinEzraShow.com jerk-off socks. So make sure to check that out at InkAddict.com next time you need to rub one out to some fucked up, horribly, horribly degenerate dwarf transvestite porn. You can use your Olin Ezra Show jerk-off sock.
We need to get Jim to call on the show now just
do.
For that.
I'm sorry, Danny. Please continue.
That's pretty much it. I mean, basically my point is, number one, what the fuck is happening at Walmart? What... Like, we all know about the website peopleofwalmart.com. This is taking People of Walmart to a whole new level,
dude. I don't know what to make of this, and there's only one person that I could possibly ask that may or may not hold the answer. Hey, D. Suede, would you ever masturbate in Walmart?
I've never set foot in Walmart, ever.
Yeah, he doesn't step foot in there.
I couldn't resist, man. I mean, he's just sitting over there. All right, so... Real quick, before we get to this next segment, make sure to check it out. This show is actually coming streaming live to TapDetroit.com along with the Olin Ezra Show, a good friends of ours. They've also got a show doing something similar to what we're doing. It's along different lines. It's a different flavor. But make sure to check out our boys, Static Noise. Phil the intern and Dave McDonald do a terrific job of doing whatever it is that they choose to do because Phil likes to wear flip-flops. So just Google Static Noise. Look for him on Facebook.
White flip-flops.
White flip-flops. When Phil's in the mood, he busts out the white flip-flops. Just remember that. I wonder if Phil has cashmere flip-flops because he is a connoisseur of the flip-flop.
He has nice feet, too.
All right.
They're like really girly feet.
When did you look at his feet?
When we went on their show for an interview, he had white flip-flops.
He always.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Phil, please call the Olin Ezra Show so we can talk to you. 313-312-4524.
Don't ask
K-Hub, dude. K-Hub had a grand plan for Phil. Let me tell you, K-Hub had this whole plan.
Did it have to do with his feet?
It involved feet and razors and fishnet stockings, Phil the intern and stripper poles. And that's I'm going to leave it at that. But make sure to check out good friends of the show, Static Noise, part of the Gang of Bang community. Anyway, so I've, you know, been doing a lot of searching this week, and this is what I found for this week's Strain of the Week.
Wow.
Strain of the Week.
What do you guys think about some of that silver Afghani? Oh my God, it's so crystallized. It's like gray, dude. When you look at this bud, it's gray. So, you know, if you need to treat your depression or your back pain or your anxiety or your nervous twitch or the fact you like to go home and beat your girlfriend or treat your alcoholism, whatever it is that you do that you treat with your medicinal marijuana, make sure that you can find yourself a strain called the Silver Afghani because it's nice, it's mellow, it's not harsh until it gets old. Then it just turns into a horrible, horrible, horrible mess on your throat. But when it's still fresh, it's great. And it kind of smells, this might be gross, but it sort of smells like Johnson's baby powder mixed with meth. No, I'm just kidding. It actually smells like really fruity, really like almost like bubble gum if you've ever smelled the strain bubble gum. But it's potent. Danny, did you smell it?
I didn't smell it.
Hold on here. Let me.
I didn't smell it either.
I'm going to let Danny have a sample sniff, and she's going to break the smell down. Les doesn't want it. He's afraid.
I'm good.
He's afraid he's going to get a contact buzz and get drug tested. What is that?
It's fruity. It's definitely fruity.
Fruity smell? Okay, maybe I do want
to
smell it.
No, now Les wants to smell the fruit.
If it's fruity, you know, I got to smell it.
It's fruity with like a.
Where do you find this shit?
There's like an after scent.
I got a special store that I go to from time to time, and I pick some up for myself for you know.
I'm gonna be 100% honest right now. It's fruity, but it's got like an after scent, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
Of like baby vomit.
Baby vomit. So it smells like fruity baby vomit. That's Danny's.
Ooh, you're right. It does have.
Where does the baby vomit
come from?
Not too far
from the truth. Wow, it's like.
It's got a little vomit scent.
Really?
Ooh, boy. Yeah,
it's not all bad, though.
I wonder, that just might be my pocket.
I think it must be your pocket.
It shouldn't be I mean, this has been resting next to my sack for like the last 3 hours, so that might be the
baby
vomit.
That might be
why
you have baby vomit on your sack?
I don't know. If any of my ex-girlfriends out there listening or...
How do you have baby vomit on your sack for?
Does my sack smell like baby vomit?
I don't know. Let's find out. Stand up. Let's find out.
No, Les, why do you want to see my penis so bad? What is wrong with you? You should be ashamed of yourself. People at home are listening like, oh my God, Zaldor just wants to tongue Olin's balls all day.
And Danny's between the two of us, so, you know, I got to go over Danny to get to your...
I'll gladly move. I will gladly move across the way.
All right, so what happens, Aldor? I mean, we're talking about weed, and
so happens coincidentally that there's a man who's growing marijuana plants in Auburn Hills in Michigan.
Okay. That sounds like many, 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 many people
I'm
that
sure
live
there
in
is.
Michigan right
he
now.
He has a medical card, and he was charged with growing it too close to a school and in the wrong setting, whatever that means, in the wrong setting.
What is the wrong setting?
I don't know. That's why I thought maybe you could
answer
that for me.
And there's a law that says
me.
How close you can be to a school.
Is there?
I don't think there is.
There's no law that says you can only grow medical marijuana 1.5 acres away from any school or other facility.
But there is a law that says you can only grow 12 plants, right?
That's right, 12
plants.
Okay,
that's what he said. He's growing 12 plants, and he's got a personal bond of $10,000. And, of course, his crime is punishable with prison or 4 years of prison or $20,000.
Well, that's the federal law. The state law says he can grow it.
But yeah, he's able to. It's on the backyard of a home in Caroline Street in Auburn Hills. He had 12 marijuana plants, and the police department went to the home, and after receiving several complaints of the plants growing in the backyard, and of course the police didn't know that he had a medical card or not, and they confiscated all 12 plants.
Okay. Without even knowing.
Without even knowing if he had a medical card or not.
So they never asked. Well, no, they didn't ask. Was this the DEA or was the state police? Was it county officials?
It sounds like it's the city police, so Auburn Hills.
That'll get. Well, here's the thing.
And the police said that the home was growing in the backyard, which is fenced only in one third of the way around.
And it needs to be fully fenced?
And they were confiscated because they're less than 1,000 feet of an elementary school.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Is that one of the laws in that you can't grow plants so close to an elementary school? Or what? Any school for that matter?
They give kids worse things than pot at the elementary school. Why can't he grow them next to the school? Meanwhile, right. Substitute teachers are masturbating all, over lifesaver, all over lightsabers at Walmart. I think the last thing the school system needs to be worried about is some fucking weed plants.
I agree.
You guys are ridiculous.
I thought this was ridiculous, too.
What do you guys think? I mean, what's up with this medical marijuana? I want to hear our listener's standpoint on medicinal marijuana. So 313-312-4524. Give us a call, please.
I know you guys are out there.
They're out there and listening because the numbers don't lie. The numbers are great for this episode, by the way. Thank you. Please give us a call and let us know what you think about this medical marijuana situation and if you'd ever go to Walmart to masturbate.
Usually, with marijuana.
They don't sell porn at Walmart, and all of the cashiers are fat and, you know.
Toothless.
And half of them have a horrible case of meth mouth.
So the police found out about this because what, neighbors were calling and complaining?
Complaining about it, exactly. Okay. That's why.
Unbelievable.
Okay. Of course, the neighbors have to out their neighbors, you know. Because they could be doing bad things, growing marijuana in the backyard.
I just want to say this really quick. Jola Bassin, one of the female fans of the Olin Ezra Show and salesperson for InkAddict.com, said Guinness is not that bad. Shut up, Jola, because I don't like it. Just because my taste palate is different than yours does not mean that I am wrong. I enjoy other beers like Miller Lite and PBR because they're cheap and they don't taste like anything. Guinness tastes like toffee and tube socks. And I don't have time for coffee and tube sock taste when I'm trying to drink my alcoholic beverage of preference.
Hi, Jola.
We love you, Jola. I'm just giving you a hard time.
Jola's listening to the stream, I take it then. Leaving comments on Facebook instead of calling in. She's too afraid to call into the show.
We got a caller.
Oh, we got a caller. Let's put him through. Oh, hello. Thank you for calling the Olin Ezra Show. Who's this?
Hello, hello.
Hello?
Who's this?
Hello?
This is Dave McDonald of Static Noise.
Dave McDonald!
How do we not know that voice? I know that voice anyway.
How did you not know this voice?
I don't know.
Very good question.
Wasn't Dave and Andrew May comparing penis sizes last
week? Les, I have had it with the penis comparisons! It ends now!
I want Big Baby P back. I want it back. I want to be sexually harassed by Big Baby P all day long. Give me Big Baby P.
Les, honest to God, you're scaring me now. You are really concerning me.
Les is all about the penis.
I don't think I want to ever see you again, Les. In, like, life.
David McDonald, what's up, buddy?
Not much, Olin. This has been very interesting listening to the Olin Ezra Show live. And I got to say, until that static noise, like, it was just awful. Just terrible.
Man.
Wow.
That was so organized, especially with Bill and the fishnets. That was great.
That joke never gets old. What's up with that anyway? What is Phil still wearing the white flip-flops, or are they now officially out of season?
I was not in this week for the first time in a long time, but I think Phil pretty much wears those flip-flops every week.
So would you say that those then are Phil the intern's lucky flip flops?
I wouldn't go that far, but I certainly think that they're his footwear of choice.
I'm picturing Dave. Can you confirm or deny? Because I have a mental picture of what you're doing right now. I'm picturing you in a Masterpiece Theater. Like a plaid bathrobe, reclining in like a den of some sort, and like a velvet lazy boy with a snifter of cognac and a pipe
in the grotto,
just like swirling the cognac around.
Oh my!
That's what I'm picturing. Is that what you're doing?
That's actually really close. Just replace the cognac with Kool-Aid, and you have it.
Hey, Dave, now that you're on the phone, I saw that your Facebook post. Let me tell you this, buddy. I am goddamn sick of the Lions. They are 2-32. I think that Bill Ford needs to sell the damn franchise, and we need to move on with life because I just can't take any more of this.
Go Lions.
You can't take, like, a little bit of hope and just years of failure. You can't take that all.
Here's the thing, Dave. The last two games that I've watched this season, Dave, the last two games, right, that the Lions have kept it interesting right to the very end, only to crush and devastate and depress the fans of the Lions the last 2 weeks in the row in the last minute of the game.
That's true.
It is pretty terrible. It really is, but I mean, You can't encourage quitting, especially not in the city of Detroit. You can't do it. You can't do it.
Look, Dave, here's my thing, is that I love Detroit sports, and I will always be a Lions fan. What can we do to make this team good other than what are we supposed to do? People are going to start committing suicide and slitting their wrists in the middle of Woodward Avenue if they don't improve.
I say that from now on, Ndamukong Suh just gets on the field with a real weapon and just kills the other players.
So
that's my idea.
You're just saying, fuck it, let's just grab an arsenal of guns and ammo and...
No, I want to put an actual spear in the hands of Ndamukong Suh, because if you've ever seen this kid, he looks like he should have grown up to be like an Indian chief of some kind. Just something vicious.
So you're all for, you're just for the slaughter of the other teams, because at this point the Lions aren't good enough to beat them, so we might as well just start murdering the competition.
Oh yeah, I'm pretty much encouraging, you know, that the Lions go through their own bad boy era.
Maybe we should give all the Lions like machine guns on people. Give them machine guns when they go on the field.
Well, we got to give them something because they suck, and they've sucked ever since I was shot out of my mom's vagina. They were good in 1991. They were good in 2000, and the rest of the time they have been the worst thing that's ever happened to the NFL. It's like the NFL needs an embarrassing franchise. It's like for a long time in the NBA, you had the Denver Nuggets, and you could always talk crap about how bad the Denver Nuggets were, and in the NFL, you have the Lions. I'm done. I can't do it anymore. I don't, Dave, what are you going to do, buddy?
What am I going to do?
What are you going to do with the Lions?
What are you going to do, Dave?
Are you going to watch next week?
Probably.
Next week, actually, I will, because I want to see them beat up Brett Favre.
Oh, yeah, that's not going to happen.
Just another disappointing game. I see it.
I could just one good hit on Brett Favre. That's all I ask. Not even winning, just one good hit.
I don't even think that they can penetrate the offensive line.
What have you been smoking tonight, Dave?
Listen, Valdor, seriously, you concern me. I've listened for the last 2 weeks, and I am very concerned about your participation in this program, because it's going in a very dark place, darker than where it was.
Oh, my.
Well, Dave, right. I mean,
is that possible? Is it possible to go darker than where it was?
It is possible. I'll take it there.
I feel violated sexually just listening to Valdor talk on the radio.
Imagine if you were sitting right next to him.
Yeah, really. See, how does Danny feel then?
Danny's about to switch chairs to this empty spot next to me, and that should be no comfort. No woman should want to sit anywhere near me, but for whatever reason, they do.
No, that's not a safe zone.
I applaud Danny for even coming back to the show. Just, it's an unsafe environment now.
Dave, you're going to be our next special guest co-host.
Dave, you're going to be here next Sunday for now.
It's going to be the Olin Ezra Show special edition, Dave McDonald versus Les Zaldor.
That sounds like a great deal for next Sunday.
Wear your plaid bathrobe, please.
Please do. And bring the cognac.
Okay, all right.
All right.
Make sure you wear nothing underneath the plaid bathrobe, please.
But hey, Dave, bro, we got to let you go, man. Thanks for calling in and wearing the bathrobe and sipping the cognac and taking the time to call us, dude. We love Static Noise, and we're glad that Static Noise is also listening to us.
Static Noise. Rocks.
All right, Olin. Peace out.
Bye, Dave.
Peace out, Dave McDonald. So, Dave McDonald from Static Noise. Love that guy. And obviously, Zaldor, you have offended him on a hefty level.
I have offended Dave McDonald.
No one has ever offended Dave McDonald the way that you have personally violated his sanity and well-being. So
I don't know how I did that. But
I don't
okay.
know what you did. But anyway, we got one more Mayhem Fest interview to go through, and then we're going to bring Jeeva in and talk to them a little bit because they got some huge stuff coming, nice. And everybody's got to get a chance to listen to some Jeeva and get some Jeeva in their lives. I like the sweet Jeeva Jeeva, and when I have the sweet Jeeva Jeeva, I got to reach for the Jeeva. You know what I'm saying? That was kind of corny and horrible.
That was corny.
But whatever, it doesn't matter. I got to talk to who I think, this is a weird comedian, and he's awesome. He's absolutely awesome. He is the best at deconstructing a person. And listen to Big J Oakerson deconstruct me in this special one-on-one interview from Mayhem Fest. A lot of comedic aspects have sort of influenced the Olin Ezra show. So I want to say thanks for coming on. You're actually our first comedian that we've ever interviewed. So,
awesome.
So thanks for the time. But who, growing up, you know, being a kid, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, who was the comedians that you watched and sort of evolved from?
I don't know. I think all of it, generally. I used to really watch, when I was a kid, I would just kind of get my hands on anything. I remember going, I'd go to the video store on, like, weekends. My grandmother would take me, and I would rent, like, the HBO half-hour specials because I didn't have cable. And then as I got older, when I did get cable, I used to watch, like, Evening at the Improv and Caroline's Comedy Hour and all that shit. And literally, I had no bias at the time. Like, I thought it was all great. I was just impressed. I just wanted to laugh, and I was so happy to, like, I would take those jokes, and I would take them to school the next day and make other kids laugh with them, hopefully. And then when I just graduated high school, a friend of mine suggested that I give it a shot and tried out myself, and I started going to open mics and just kind of evolved from there. And then once I got involved in comedy, I mean, I kind of found my mentors and the people who I kind of aspired to, like, be like or learn from. And that was very much Patrice O'Neill, if you know who he is, and Dave Attell was a good mentor of mine. Dave Attell's taken me on the road with him for the last 5 years now, where I've opened for him a whole bunch. So just kind of being able to, like, you know, grab his fan base and, like, make them come and see me when I headline has been amazing, and just watching from him and learning, because he's, like, you know.
So what's Dave like?
It's very romantic in the sense of just, like, he's just a comedy machine. I mean, like, he really eats, sleeps, and breathes it. I mean, he writes constantly, and he's always got new material, and it's very inspiring. He just knows how to, like, he's the ultimate joke writer, joke teller, whereas myself, I'm more of a storyteller. You know, relaying things I've seen or have done or been a part of or a witness to, whereas he's just, like, you know, he reads several papers a day, and he just, like, knows how to, like, turn absurd thoughts into, like, jokes, which is amazing to me.
So now, how did you get on Mayhem, on the Mayhem Fest?
I just noticed from going, I'm a metalhead, so going to metal shows as often as I do, I just noticed I was on a TV show called Z-Rock for 2 seasons, and that kind of hit, like, you know, it was about a band. And it was, you know, and so that hit a lot of the music community, like fans and stuff would watch the show. And then my half hour special, for whatever reason, I think, I mean, the way I set it up and everything with my background was really kind of designed to my specifications. So I think that kind of hits home with the metal fans. And when I would come to the Mayhem Fest, very specifically, even the past 2 years, I get recognized a lot. And I noticed this is one of the few festivals, because, you know, Coachella and Bonnaroo all have comedy tents
right
now, where they do, like, running comedy shows with,
and
on
you're
a schedule.
The first
and on those, yeah. So I kind of almost presented it more to, like, a comedy tent at these things. And the Jaeger tour and this tour both came back with offers for me to just tour MC it, basically go up there and do comedy right to the thousands of people that were in the audience. Not so much even like a comedy tent, just go Shanghai with it, basically. And it's I took it sight unseen, didn't even overthink it, which, when I did overthink it, I had massive anxiety about it, because I felt like hospitalizing anxiety, because I thought, I was like, what if it? And it wasn't so much like, I'm not afraid to bomb. I've been doing comedy for almost 12
right.
years, so I've bombed plenty, and I know how to, like, I could actually probably bomb longer than I can kill on stage, because if I'm bombing, whoever's in the staff or the crew, whoever's behind me is going to be laughing, because I'm just good at, like, off the cuff just shitting on people,
right.
And I like doing that, so I'm not afraid to bomb. I just didn't want to fail at the job, you know, I mean, I didn't want to be
right.
the guy that's like, hey, we tried this, it doesn't work,
but it was terrible, the worst
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, no idea. So,
but how's it been so far?
It's been,
then
beyond expectations great. Even the days where, you know, there's always assholes in the audience, and it's a drunken event, you know, so even when there are naysayers and assholes and hecklers, Like, I have to pick my battles, and that's what kind of sucks, being different from a comedy club. Like, at a comedy club, I'd always address a heckler. Or I even will address someone who's just not enjoying themselves and being quiet just because I like to engage. But in this, I have to pick my battles. But someday, we've had a couple of shows where it was uptight, weird, Bible Belt cities where the crowds are just kind of shitty and heckling and talking shit. And I don't mind that at all, because I'll win the crowd back, because I'll just, if I can see you, I can deconstruct you head to toe. So I don't mind that either. I just feel bad sometimes because the lawn can't like see what I'm talking about. But the 200 people around you are going to make you feel like a jerk off while I'm doing it. But the reception has been amazing. They hear, you know what, 20,000 people, you know, it's hard to tell because it's never going to be completely quiet like a comedy club where you hear, you can tell they're all listening. But when I hit a punchline and I hear 18,000 laughs, that's an amazing feeling. Yeah, it's great.
It's got to feel. So what's up with the grandma routine? I heard
with the what?
With the grandma routine. I heard you got some jokes about your grandma that you like.
My grandma?
Yeah.
Do I have a joke about my grandma? I don't know. I don't write anything down.
Going back through the things, I heard a couple of things, but we'll move on. Now, you got Big J Okerson, an American storyteller, out now on Comedy Central Digital Records. How's that been for you?
That's been great. That's kind of like a cool thing for me, too. And that was really cool was they sent out, hard copies for me to sell on the tour, which is really neat for me because, like, you know, again, it's a thing, you know, when I was a kid, if you told me I would have had an album, and you know, available at all, I would have said no way.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a real kick for me to be able to have that and be able to, and especially on this, to be able to put it in people's hands and like sign it for them, and for people that already have it even coming up to me, is like, it's a really cool thing for me. Yeah, it's on iTunes and stuff, and it's been selling good, and hopefully this makes it, you know, sell bigger and they get it in stores soon.
So that's pretty much available everywhere, Best Buy and all the
not
major.
Not yet. No, it's going to be they're going to do the end of year sales. If they meet like a certain quota, they will put it hard copy in stores.
So people have to get onto comedycentral.com.
Not iTunes. It's on iTunes and Amazon. And I said, and if they come to the show, I have it available here, like hard copy. So they'd be the only, they're very rare hard copies you can find here. Will they be a collector's item? I fucking hope not. Hopefully.
But
I hope they're not, if they're a collector's item, it means something Zygmunt should have zagged. I have one of four copies of this album.
Jay, we got to get you your sales so that you could get an actual disc out there, man.
Because
this is great. So what's the biggest transition, you know, from the comedy club, you know, where you kind of have control of the room,
right,
to come in here to DTE where you just got people smoking joints on the hill and running amok drunk?
I mean, that's it really. It's the control, which I've been able to wrangle and control to a decent amount. I mean, like if 20,000 people started booing, you really can't control that. But luckily that hasn't been a hit. I mean, if you yell out, I mean, I'm just yelling out my filthiest, most absurd shit. So, I mean, like, you're kind of forced to listen. And I think overall the people are good, you know, and they want to enjoy the show. And, you know, they respect that someone's up there trying. I mean, like, I always find it funny when people heckle. The other day I got on stage, and as soon as I hit the stage, some guy was just giving me the finger and screaming, fuck you. Which...
How dare you get on a stage?
It almost makes me laugh. And I say that. I'm very vocal with everything. So, I mean, I say that guy, I go, why are you so angry that I'm trying to come out here and entertain you? Like, it seems like a weird thing to hate me for. Like, fuck you. It's like, I'm just trying to make you laugh, bro. I thought we were going to be buddies when this was all over. I don't know why you're so mad at me.
He's just mad at the world, man.
Yeah, I know, but that's what people, you know, some people are. Some people are that way. So what can you do? You know, you can't fight it too much. But like I said, it's funny because I'm so good at that. Like, I'm pretty scathing when it comes to, like, hitting the audience, and I'm quick-witted with it. It's one of my, like I said, I'm not a great joke writer. I'm a good storyteller, but I'm quick-witted on the fly. So I like, but the reason I'm so scathing is because it's a genuine sadness almost that's conveyed. Because in my mind, I'm like, I thought we were going to all be friends when this was all over. And why are you mad at me for trying to entertain you? But the difference, I'd say, is the intimacy. That's all it is. Because they say I can. A crowd, I'll never lose a crowd in a comedy club because I could always own it. Like, I know how to, like, reel people in. Which I'm doing the same thing here, but just on a grander scale. So things you can't reel in everybody.
Right.
You know what I mean, I'm telling my jokes, and like you said, someone's smoking pot, someone's getting finger blasted on the lawn. Somebody who knows, you know what I mean? And I understand, by the way. If someone was like, could you come finger blast me instead of going on stage, I'd bat around the idea of yes doing that. So I get it. I can't be mad at you.
Fuck,
in fact, if
awesome,
I was like,
man,
why weren't you listening to me, and your excuse was I was finger blasting some chick, I'd be like, fair enough, bro.
That's
understandable. Buy my album. It's all the same shit.
That is Jay, Big Jay Oakerson. Thank you, sir, dude. Hilarious stuff.
I'm the first person that said finger blasted on your show.
Well, we get really into creative adjectives on the show. So, but finger blasted is not an adjective we used. Finger banged is, but finger blasted,
finger
brand
bang.
New.
That's 2010. I'm on the 2011 shit. Finger blasting.
Jay Oakerson. Make sure to check him out. Amazon.com, iTunes. Thank you so much, Jay, for being a part of the Yoel and Ezra show.
Absolutely.
Appreciate
it.
Nice
to meet you. Thank you guys so much.
Take that.
No problem. Mike from the band Jeeva is here in the booth with us,
what's
right?
Up, Mike?
What's
Hi.
Up? How everybody doing? Thank
How
you for having
you?
Me
like to call
here.
Michael or Mike?
Michael. Michael. I like ladies to call me Michael. Fellas can call me Mike. It's like,
right, what about
it's
Michael?
A Detroit thing, man.
All right, Mike.
Know.
No problem.
It's weird, dog. All right.
That's
all right.
That's cool.
I don't know.
So, Jeeva, you have just the band. How long has Jeeva been around, Mike?
Man, Jeeva's been around for some years now. The new lineup started maybe 2 years ago. And I was contacted by the bass player and guitar player who have been together. They've known each other since they were like Wonder Years age, like 12. And they hit
so
me.
So they're like actually narrating their life.
Yeah, it's like you know, sometimes I'm sitting there and they just look up at the ceiling. I'm like, what are they doing? And they're like, and that's at that moment I knew. That moment I knew this was the best song ever. And I'm like, what are they doing? But yeah, so those dudes hit me up, man, and they were like looking for a new singer, and I came through and everything clicked. And then we ended up needing a new drummer due to our drummer having conflicts, John Markham, and he was the perfect fit. And now the band's been together fully for maybe a year and a half, 2 years now. So
now, were you in a band or any musical project prior to that?
Yeah, I was doing different things. I was trying to fill it out. I was living in Dallas, Texas, and I moved back here to rock because I knew a lot of my friends were here doing big things musically, and this was a place to make it happen if I wanted to make it happen. And I had a band before that. It's more of a very chill, hippie, relaxing. It would have went with your, what was the name of that ganja you used on my island?
The Strain?
Oh, the,
yeah, it would have been perfect.
Silver Afghan.
All that stuff, my music back then, you could have just sat there and just dazed out.
Beautiful.
Well, you were in Dallas. Why would, like, Austin, Texas is a big hotbed for, like, music and stuff.
So. Yeah, man, you know, Texas was sweet, but it was like, you know, I knew I already had the connects here. It was one of those things, you know, I had buddies that were playing from all types of amazing artists, and I was like, you know, why reinvent the wheel? I can come here and just get a demo going.
Were you from Detroit originally?
Yeah, I'm from Detroit.
Oh, okay. Okay. So who'd you hook up with around here when you came back?
When I came back, man, I first put together this band, and my drummer was a cat that was playing with Justin Timberlake, keyboard player, somebody playing with R&B singer Jaheim, nice. And it was tight. These cats was on another level, and I learned a lot from them, but it wasn't the right fit. And that's really an important thing when you're in a band, is everything needs to feel right.
And what music is Jeeva about? What kind of music?
Jeeva's, man, everything from Led Zeppelin, Hendrix, Kravitz, Aerosmith, cool. Prince.
You ever heard
how sick are you of comparisons to Kravitz, by the way?
Yeah, you know I get it. You know I get it. Yeah, because
I wasn't
going to
go there.
You have to check us out. I know. It's all good. You know?
I wasn't going
to
go there.
You know
there.
What? It's about Tom Kravitz. He needs to retire. So it's all good. You know?
He hasn't done anything in a while.
Yeah, I think he's chilling, man. I think he's done. He's focused on being a humanitarian, which is a great thing.
Yeah.
He's one of my inspirations. I'm not going to hate on him. But, yeah,
he's somebody I'd like to meet someday. So is Kravitz? He seems like a cool guy.
Yeah, dude, he seems like he's grounded. Definitely for him to be as large as he is.
Now another Detroit artist that maybe might sound similar to you guys is Nadir. Have you heard of Nadir at all?
Oh yeah, Nadir. He's another inspiration. He's an amazing talent.
He's a great guy.
I
interviewed him a long time ago, like 5-6 years ago. He's a really cool guy. He's still working in Detroit as a musician as well. Well, working on Detroit music.
He's very heartfelt, soulful music. So
very,
that's
very.
I respect him highly. So
he's somebody we should bring out here sometime, Olin. He's a good guy.
Definitely, dude. I'll sit in the studio on that.
Bring me back.
I know.
Another local guy you worked with, and this guy has studios in L.A. and Detroit, is Chuck Alkazian, man. What was it like working with him?
Dude, it was awesome, man. He, like I said, he's like family to Jeeva. And, you know, he was very inspirational, and he helped us figure out different directions in our music. And, you know, he really looked out for us. So that's somebody in our journey in trying to do what we got to do. We're always going to, you know, give him a shout out. Check out Kazan Pearl Sound. He's the man.
Nice.
And he will definitely help you figure out where you're trying to go artistically. And that's a beautiful thing.
AKA put your ass in check.
Yeah, he's like, no, yeah. That ain't right. Pimp slap, pimp slap.
But he does it in the right way, and he brings out the best in people, it seems, every time. And then the other tracks you had recorded at the Rust Belt.
Yeah, man, we did that with Eric Holkemeyer and another guy that he's just, you know, I think it's a beautiful thing because I've been doing music for maybe 6 years now, and you run into people that, like, they hear your music and then they have a vision versus trying to enhance your vision.
Right.
And,
right,
you know, Rust Belt, they were all about that as well. Eric, like, listened to our songs, came to rehearsals, dude, sat there. We not paying him. He came, hung
really?
Out.
Yeah, it was just...
was just listening, digging it, and was like, all right, yeah, that's hot. Let's try this. Let's try that.
Wow.
This was, you know, that's...
that's very, very rare.
It is. So, I mean, if you're a musician out there and you're trying to make it happen, holler at Rust Belt Studios in Royal Oak. There you go.
And what when and this is going to be on an album coming out.
Yeah, it's entitled Breathe, and it's coming out September 24th. Is our big CD release. We've been plotting.
That's Friday.
It's Friday. That's Friday. Right, everyone. It's Friday. Go to jivamusic.net to see more explicit directions. But it's going to be September 24th at Club Luna in Royal Oak, Michigan, on Main Street.
Nice place.
North, yeah, dude, yeah. It's sexy and sleek. That's what we're going for. Another, we're trying to go sexy.
Another band that's worked
sexy,
with...
sexy, but industrial.
But industrial.
Another band that's worked with Alkazian is Otto Vector. And
Otto Vector.
They play Luna
a
lot.
They've been in Luna a couple times.
Otto Vector is how we got put up on Luna, because bass player, Michael Nagy, he's cool with those guys. And then he was like, dude, the place, he went and checked it out, said it was cool. And, you know, there's a lot of cool places in the D, but we all know there's a lot of poopy places in the D. I say poopy because my mom may be listening. Y'all know what I mean.
So horribly, 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 like, just... well, then syphilis infested.
Yeah, man. Got to get a shot. 4 shots at the...
we want to apologize to Mike's mom if she is, in fact, listening. Because
you know what?
While your son
down.
Is being a beacon of class right now.
I know. I just fixed my tie, mother. I fixed my tie if you're listening.
Your ascot.
My ascot.
Mom, it burns when I pee. What do I do?
She's like, don't tell me. Just get it fixed. Just get it fixed. Otto Vector, that's another band, man. Like I said, dude, it's one of the important things in the Detroit metro area is finding the venues, man, because...
yeah.
There's a lot of good venues, though. I mean, we do the Rack and Roll, of course, with the Olin Ezra show.
Oh, no, we've... oh, dude, yeah, we've rocked the Rack and Roll with Tiny over there. That's my boy.
Yeah, Tiny, but like I said, because Steve, the sound guy, does a great
job. He believes
in
independent bands, like, doing their thing, but, you know, like I said, it's about... when bands are trying to make it, it's about finding those places.
Luna is a great centrally located location.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why we're excited about this CD release.
Is it a full-length CD?
Yes. It's we got 9 tracks on it.
Okay. Yeah. It's full-length.
Yeah, that's what you're digging? Okay, good.
Yeah.
I feel special about it now because I was worried.
You should.
But, and it's, you know, we put a lot of work into it. I mean, it was a lot of putting stuff together, demoing it, going back to the lab and be like, nah, that don't work, that don't fit. Back and forth.
So what's the name of the CD?
It's called Breathe.
Breathe, okay.
Yeah.
Just Breathe. Where'd you come up
with Breathe?
Is there a song called Breathe?
Or? Yeah, well, you know what? It's interesting. But there was a song we went back and forth calling Breathe, and the song is entitled Rise. But it depicts, the title depicts the journey, man, because it's like, it's been a lot of work, dude, you know?
I bet.
I mean, you got to pay bills and still handle business. And in trying to do that, you know, and you're pursuing a dream, it's like, you, I mean, dude, at the end, you look for that peak when you can finally just breathe and go, I did it, and look back, and everything was worth it. So,
that being said, kind of what's your vision? I mean, like, obviously every band wants to, you know, take it as far as they can go, but kind of what's the next steps from here?
Well, we've got people checking us out. You know, we've been getting a few emails and contacts where people want to shop our stuff. You know, people out of state are digging it, and that's very positive.
Very cool.
So, you know, but you don't want to make the wrong choice because it's your baby. You know, your music, you don't want to... it's hard when you're dealing with, like, anything major because you know...
oh, I...
you don't want to do a Jiva Disney album?
Yeah, I know. I'm not trying to be with Hannah Montana and be right. Like, yo, Miley, let's do a duo. I don't want the voice box on me with the auto-tune like I'm T-Pain.
Jiva, opening I got for dreads, Jamie like, Foxx.
I don't want to do that.
Opening for Justin Bieber.
I know. His bangs is tight. His bangs is tighter than any Any girl I went to high school with, his bangs are tight.
You know, speaking of high school or school, you were talking about Kwame Kilpatrick earlier.
Yeah, man.
You went to the school that Kwame Kilpatrick went to.
Let me take a drink of White Goose. It's about to get serious.
White Goose, yeah.
Some intense Cass Tech action.
All right, so I went to Cass Tech. It was a very elite, prestigious high school, and Kwame is part of our... He's a product of Cass.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's an interesting thing because the guy, his vision, man, his vision is right on. Like, what he wanted was right. But it's hard because, you know, let me tell you, I'm talking as far as a cat from the hood. You try to bring help people come up with you, you know what I'm saying? And he was trying to do that, and that was the bad idea. Like, you got to keep focused, man. And it's about the company you keep and the people you appoint. And he picked a lot of his friends and family, and I think that was a big part of it. Because you hangers on is what they call them, and listening to them, and things got out of hand. But I mean,
i.e., groupies.
Groupies. Yeah, that's like a rock and roll. It's political groupies. And now he's making the license plate.
That's right. He's making the license plate. Just like that picture I got of a T-shirt. Says Kwame made my license plate on it.
You told me, and I was like, I believe he might have made it.
Oh, man.
I think now he's
my mom.
His
my
back.
Mom sent me that T-shirt.
Kwame did so good. He did, but then at the same time,
yeah, man.
Yeah.
There were so many places where he had set himself up for good success, and you can see the mark Kwame left all over the city. There's several places that are cleaned up and fucking great. And you were there 10 years ago, and you go there today, and you can – it's just a different – you can't tell until you're there. It's a different place than when I was younger. But God damn it.
It's okay, Owen.
It was so
good. It's okay, Owen. It's all
now
right,
we
man.
Got
Let
Bing.
It go, man.
Now we
Let
got Bing. And
you got Bing. Bing's doing a good job, though.
But it's good because, you know, I don't think
we'll
Coleman,
talk about that in a second.
Coleman
about Bing.
Young
yeah, things happen, man. And
was the best thing that could have happened for Detroit because he wasn't. He really separated Detroit. But, you know, Kwame was one of the few mayors that brought Detroit together. Unfortunately, he brought things together into his bank account too, and the brag about
it. That's when it looks
and
bad, because that's where the corruption starts.
Look, Kwame, all politicians are corrupt. They just hide it better. You have to hide it better. You can't use your work phone.
And we took a class in Cass about that. They said if you're gonna do it, make sure you put it up in a Swiss bank account.
Oh, is that?
I guess he missed it.
At Cass, did they talk about how to hide your text messages?
Yeah, Swiss,
too?
Swiss. Oh no, we weren't. It wasn't no text out. I'm old. You want no text out?
Oh, okay.
Out,
man. All right. Well, yeah.
I had a pager in high school. I don't know if that.
You know, it's funny that over the weekend I heard about somebody who was doing texting messages with some government person was texting some woman.
Jeez.
Similar to like Ali Kwame. You know, it's just, you know, they just don't learn.
Not a good idea.
Like they, I mean, that's a bad idea.
Not see, if I was ever in political office, I would not be telling my secretary on my work BlackBerry that I want a finger blaster in her asshole after I get out of this meeting.
That I want your zipper fish.
That's right.
You want a heaping helping of her zipper
fish. A hearty helping. So, Mike, where's the best place where people can get your shit? Obviously, the CD release party at Luna on Friday. But
people can go to iTunes, CD Baby. If people go to jivamusic.net, we have a link to connect with us. And you can also purchase CDs and merch, and it's all on there on jivamusic.net, and you can get the CD. But we're plotting some CD releases. We have one coming up in Muskegon as well. That one's a bit more tentative because of, you know, things that went down. But we're going to have one in Saginaw on October 1st at White's Bar.
Saginaw.
I'm at Saginaw.
Nice.
It's fun. White's Bar rocks. They give you love there. They have been so supportive.
Yeah, good friends. The show, Keith Courage, they're
up from Saginaw?
Yeah, and they always play White's, and they say White's is a fantastic, fantastic venue, and they treat people right that play there.
And actually, that's October 2nd. I'm getting confused. We had a tentative date October 1st in Muskegon, but Saginaw is October 2nd at White's Bar. So,
does White's give the bands complimentary reach-arounds?
You know what? They do, but I refused it because
Have you been to bars to give you complimentary reach-arounds, Danny?
Have I?
Yes.
Am I even able to get a reach around?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
I don't think girls can get reach arounds.
You got the Lady Gaga thing going on, and we just don't know about it.
Adios. Oh, it's about to get. It's got hot in here. It's about to get awkward.
Zeldor hasn't asked to see it yet.
Dang, Zeldor. Everybody's coming at you hard, man.
I got beat up.
It's because Zeldor's like, for the love of God, Olin, please, just show me your penis.
No, I got beat up by that last during that last interview. You guys beat me up, so I said, I'm shut my mouth.
Yeah, it was serious. I was like, uh-oh. Let me put on my boxer
gloves. We had a caller call in and say that they were... They were devastated. Yeah, they were terrified.
But you know what? You know what? They're obviously not that terrified because we've had the best numbers to the show that we've ever had up to this point. So,
nice. Thanks for listening.
Rock, thanks for checking out tapdetroit.com
or
the OLNFRShow.com.
Call in 313-312-4524.
Don't be scared.
Talk to Mike from Jiva. We got a couple more segments. Mike, thanks for talking.
Thank you so much.
Mike is sticking around the rest of the show, so he's more than welcome to take calls if you want to talk to Mike from Jiva.
Come check out the CD release September 24th at Luna in Royal Oak on Main Street, north of 14 Mile, I believe. And it's going to be a nice part. $2 drinks before, because this is what usually get people. It's a scandalous part. $2 drinks from 9 to 11. So you may be wasted before we play, but you're there. And you're having a good time. And we probably trick you into getting a CD if you waste.
We got a caller.
Put him through.
All right. You're on the Olin Ezra Show. How's it
going? Hey, I have a question for Michael Turner of Jiva.
Go ahead.
What's up?
Hey.
Yep.
Hey, Michael. How are you?
How you doing? What's crack?
Good. Hey, I'm just starting a band myself, and I'm a singer. And I was wondering, I'm having a fight with my bandmates. What's your opinion on male camel toe up on stage?
You know what? I think if you got it, flaunt it. I'm a firm believer in being eccentric and rocking your style. So if you got it, flaunt it.
Like,
man,
in Cameo. Cameo had some
exactly. Nilly Vanilli did it. If you got it, flaunt it. Don't be ashamed.
Danny, you've got a hunch.
You could just rock in the division sign.
Man, you got to divide it. Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer.
You got to get right in between,
right,
man.
In there.
In the thick of it. It's got to be in your hair.
Olin, yes.
In your hair.
Give me some. Yes.
Is this Ryan B from the podcast?
No, it's not Ryan B.
This is not Ryan B. Well, who is this? Because we don't know who this is. We'd like to know. And I show where our
other
Mike listeners.
Nagy. Maybe Turner can guess.
This is Michael Nagy.
I want to come see your band.
This is the bass player of Jiva. You've seen him already, Danny. You've seen him in Dooley's.
Well, I want to see his new band, which will be flaunting male camel toe in.
Nagy, why don't you tell her about that band?
I did some shopping in the women's department, and I'm all set with that. I think shirtless is the way to go, too. Right?
Oh, my.
Wow. Well, did you get tassels for your nipples? Because, you know, I mean, you can't go and drag without those, right?
No, I can't. That's a good call. I need to get those.
And you were questioning me about what I'm talking about. You're talking about tassels on male nipples.
Well, because it fits the situation, Taylor. I don't stop the show in the middle, and I'm like, pull down your pants and expose your genitalia to me.
It's getting serious in here.
Well, thanks for calling. Thanks for the wonderful question.
Mike, thanks for the male camel toe question. Thanks. Mike Nagy from Jiva.
From Jiva, just sitting there listening at home in the comfort of his home. Just drinking red wine, probably.
Well, thanks, Mike, for that enlightening phone call. I'm going to be thinking about that one later tonight when I'm mortified about what I just
heard. We got another caller.
Bring him over. Who is this? Hey, you're on the Olin Ezra Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Michael Turner's mother.
Oh,
uh-oh. 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 You busted. You're busted, uh-oh. Mike.
Hey, Mike Turner's in trouble. Hello, hi. Mike Turner's mother.
Hi, Mom.
Hey, Mom. That's sweet that you decided to...
I just wanted to thank you for the shout-out. You're doing a good job.
Thanks, Mom.
We're sorry, Michael's mom.
Yeah, she's good. She knows it. Hey, I got the humor from her. Yeah. She knows.
Are you ready Are you ready to wash my mouth out with soap?
You know what? You guys are great. Keep up the good work. I'm one of the biggest fans. I can handle anything and everything that's this gal when it comes to Michael Kurt.
Your son's classy.
That's a good mama.
He's very classy.
Very nice guy.
He is. He's well prepared. He's got his bottle of water.
I only had one beer thus far and a shot of whiskey.
All right. That's it.
I know. I'm just playing.
So, got a question for you though. What did you want him to start in doing music? Why did you say, okay, go ahead and do music for him?
Well, you know what? It all started with one guitar, and he chose his way. He went on. He's doing a great job. I support him, and I try to be at every show that's local. And you know, we just rock out. Me and the Soul Sisters.
So you're a big supporter of him. That's awesome.
This
yes, I am.
And this is the most heartwarming call we've ever had.
I know. My piano started playing. You didn't hear the pianos. My only we can hear here, pianos played.
Olin remember. Has one solo tear trickling down his cheek.
Well, but you know what? I don't want to hold up the other.
Yeah, you go to bed.
I'm just so proud.
Go to bed, Mama. It's late. Mama, what time is it?
Okay. I know. Got to go to work.
All right,
thanks,
Mom.
Michael, Mom. Thank you.
All right.
Bye. Bye. Bye, Mom.
You too, all Mike right. Turner's mom. Thank you.
All we need to have is everybody else from the show's mom calling.
I know.
My mom might be listening, so you know, she might call in. You never know. 313.
It's a mamathon.
312-4524.
That's awesome, man. Your mom. See, my mom doesn't listen. She wants nothing to do with the show.
What about Danny's mom? Does she listen to the show?
My parents don't even know that I'm on the show.
Your grandparents,
your grandma was at that show, wasn't
no,
she?
No, she didn't come. They didn't come.
God.
They
didn't go
come.
To Ezra Palooza?
Oh, the she was worst.
No.
What? Wait, what?
There was like a 350-pound woman. Let me just...
At Ezra Palooza.
We talked about this last week. What we do is we have a girl-on-girl makeout contest, which that was unfortunately the last one because it took a turn for the worst.
Wait, what happened?
There were a couple of cuties. There were a couple good-looking girls that got up on stage, and there were also some that you would not want to find, like, swabbing the deck of, like, the filthiest, crustiest shrimp boat in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico, still fishing in the oil spill, still fishing on the stage. Man. So, I mean, she pulled off her shirt. The nipples dropped to her ankles.
Ouch. That's awful.
And all she did was rub her nipples the entire time. And then once everybody cleared the stage, I was off the stage, Danny was off the stage, the other contestants were freaked out and left the stage. She was still alone on the stage, staring at everyone, looking like she wanted to murder them, and rubbing her nipples.
Was that the same woman that was there a few weeks ago, like a month or two ago before? Have you seen her before?
No, I'd never seen her before in my life.
It was that same one.
And she kept talking about her poor husband, Bill, and I'm thinking, God, what has Bill been through?
Poor Bill, man. He's listening right now, just crying. Like,
see, that's why, I mean, the good, the bad, the ugly.
You get all types.
Yeah.
The best and the worst. That's awesome, though, that your mom called. That's got to be good to hear. But anyway, Zaldor.
No, so, I think it's Danny. Danny's next.
Oh, I'm skipping.
Yeah, Danny.
I can't even read what I wrote down. So, Danny. We were talking about the government earlier with Kwame and all that other good stuff. So, now what? They're putting GPSs in select driveways? Or am I reading this right?
I just wanted to touch on this real quick. basically, a law has recently been passed in California and I think Arizona, Western states, eight Western states total, stating that government agents can sneak legally onto your property in the middle of the night, GPS device.
They don't even need to ask, they just sneak.
They just sneak.
So it's like...
That's horrible, man.
I'm thinking of like the Hamburglar sneaking onto my property, planning hamburgers, but it's not. It's GPS tracking devices.
Yeah, and they put a tracking device in your car in the middle of the night, and they can thereafter track your every move. And apparently this, according to them, does not, and according to the courts as well out there, does not violate your Fourth Amendment rights because you do not have, quote-unquote, any reasonable expectations of privacy in your own driveway. Wow.
So how about this? Is there a stipulation that if you decided to quit using your driveway and used your front lawn as your new driveway, is that some sort of violation?
That's a good question, but you know
that's a gray area. I'd like to explore.
Yeah, well, in the same you know token, it's people that are safe are people that have money. You know, because it's gated communities, fences, security booths. Anybody that can afford to protect their homes in this manner are the people that don't have to fucking worry. You know.
All right. Well, now let me say this, and everybody at home should be so proud. I'm glad that we don't live there. Unfortunately, it's probably going to happen here too. You guys should all be proud of yourselves. Good jobs on letting this happen. I've always bitched and complained. You're like, don't listen to Olin. He's crazy. The government doesn't care. What? Yes, they do. They want you buying a certain product. They want you driving a certain car. They want you waking up at a certain time, and they want you to do exactly what they have laid out in front of you. And if you can't see the blatant, obvious web of deceit that you've just fallen into, you should be ashamed of yourself and go rinse your asshole out with Bactine, because it's just a gaping wound from the giant hole that you've let the government make in your ass. Wow. You assholes.
Listen to this.
Wear a goddamn Band-Aid out in public from now on.
Listen to this. It doesn't even stop there, though. After that ruling, the courts have since gone on to make another terrible decision. Once the GPS device has been planted, the government is thereafter free to use it to track people without getting a warrant. So basically,
so if I want to smoke a joint in my driveway, I am now suspect because of my handy GPS cam. Because if anybody breaks into my house, I want to make sure. You know what? If somebody breaks into my house, they're getting stabbed in the neck, Spider-Man style. All right? Assholes, don't come into my house or I'm going to stab you to death. That's my security system. A four-inch long shank, okay?
That's gangsta.
You jerks.
I saw that last week. Yes, it's nice.
It is a large shank.
Nice shank.
I'll shank it.
Did you make it?
No. You know, if I had some Saran wrap, a toothbrush, a lighter, and a lot of time, I might think about it. But
we could have used it at the photo shoot.
We could have. No, I brought the shank to the photo shoot. Yeah, we had the shank at the photo shoot.
I was too busy getting stabbed by a rusty nail.
If you haven't
been eating tetanus inside Karpinski's.
If you haven't seen these photos that we did at the photo shoot, we have some preview pics up. Danny's profile picture, my profile picture on the ever popular social networking sites Facebook are from this photo shoot. And Danny got a rusty nail.
We went in one building where the entire floor was basically, what even was it?
It was
what
like
was it?
Wet insulation that had disintegrated into a carpeting that was growing moss.
That's nasty.
Whose choice was to go there?
Mine. Oh. We got the best.
We get the most amazing
pictures. We got the best picture ever. But it's just me and Danny, and it looks like we're in the video game Fallout 3.
Shit's just hanging down from the ceiling every 2 feet. There's like wires and trash. And
it's just awesome. And it's me and Danny like, well,
poor Mark.
What can you do?
Oh, he loved it, dude.
Oh, Mark loved
it.
In fact, shout out to Mark.
We were climbing through walls, Silent Hill style. Nader was leading the path.
It was. We had a lighter and stairwells.
My foot went through a floorboard. He's like, Danny, just keep going.
Keep going.
Work with it.
Shout out to Mark Nader. I mean, he was here earlier getting some stock photos of graffiti. He's doing some work with InkAddict.com. So
cool.
Plugs there. Excuse me, but no, he was doing some stock work here. So he always gets these amazing pictures. I think Nader might have done some Jiva photos for Detroit Live magazine like a year ago, maybe?
Yeah, dude. Oh, I remember this guy. He was really cool, man.
He's amazing.
He had me do some abstract stuff, draped me in a shirtless and an American flag. It got a little kinky, but, you know, it is what it is. It worked. He put it up there. Some people liked it. Some people didn't.
He's weird like that. Yeah, he'll make you, massage your nipples with olive oil.
Yeah, I thought he was going there. That's why I was like, all right.
Did he pull out a tub of Activia?
Oh.
He carries it with him at all times.
Scandalous. No. I mean, whoa.
A tub of Activia? The yogurt?
Oh, Zaldor! No, you don't eat it!
I know.
No! Zaldor's getting hungry! Zaldor, no!
It's not for... You don't ingest... No. It may kill you.
No.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's the lube of
choice.
All right. So... No, but
go
seriously,
sleep,
I
go to sleep.
You know, and K-Hub, you know, K-Hub, God bless her heart, is like my ride everywhere because... I have a bicycle, but either way, everywhere we go, at every intersection, we see these lights. And I remember, in 2000, when I was living in Southfield at the time, and I saw these lights popping up all over the these cameras popping up all over the place in these intersections at these streetlights. I'm like, Mom, what are these? Why are they here? She's like, oh, they're just to get license plates. I'm like, and then you look up at the camera, and it's, pointed down into your windshield, right on you, and you're looking up, you're like, I don't think that they can see my license plate. However, they can see the Swisher Sweet next to me and my open Intox in the car.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more scared of the cameras than I am terrorists at this point. Good God.
Hey, I think we got a caller. We got a caller.
Is that a Skype?
I think it is a caller.
Do we got a caller coming in?
We got a caller coming in.
Yeah, it's MG Nader, Matt, and is Jiva still in the box there?
Mike's here from Jiva. This is the photographer.
What's up, Mike?
Did you hear us just talking about you?
How you doing, man?
What's up, man?
I had to just call and apologize for the shirtless American flag thing.
Dude, you know what? Hey, you know what? It's all good. I was like...
It was something we were trying to do, and it didn't work, and I've had only one bad photo shoot so far, and unfortunately have to be with you guys.
Hey, you know what, dude? No, it's all good, dude, because my thing was you gave us a lot of love, and you were working with us. No, it's tight, man. Maybe we... See, so if you feel like it was a bad photo shoot, then maybe we need to figure out how to do another one.
I think we do.
You know, let's do it
we're
like
gonna
that.
We're going to represent Detroit next time.
Exactly. So, you know, we'll figure something out. I'll hit you up. Get your info. You got his info?
I'll
get your info, man. I'll hit you up. We'll figure something out because we need new press shots anyway. There you go. So, let's do it.
Mark, you're the best, dude.
Yeah, man.
Hey, and on top of it, man, I love your guys' stuff, man. It's great.
Thank you so much.
I listen to it all the time.
Thank you, man. I know. When we came in there for the photo shoot, you were very... it was cool because, you know, you work with a lot of different artists and collaborate, and, you know, they're like, all right, let's get to it, and you listen to the stuff, and that's love. So that's why I'm like, dude, we appreciate you, man.
Nader's cool like that.
And Nader blows my mind with, he just does, he bends over backwards for the show, he bends over backwards for other bands, and Nader should be making top dollar for the work that he does because it's the best that you can get.
Agreed.
So
as far as that shot of you with the shirtless and American flag, I do have it in a poster size in my room.
I knew it. Dude, I was like, why the other guys can't be in this shot? Why just me? Why are they outside?
Man, crush.
Why are you dimming the lights, man? All right, whatever. Go with it.
All right,
man. Awesome, man.
We should be scared of you now,
Mark. You guys take it easy, man.
All right, you too, man.
Later, Nader.
Later, Nader.
I love Mark Nader, man.
So do I.
This guy has helped us out so much and given us some of the best photos. Now, Jeeva's doing a brand new Mark Nader photo shoot, and it's going to come out badass because that's
what he does.
That's what he does. He's got me and Danny looking like we are the two hardest core thugs in the world, and we're like...
Y'all are, let's be honest. Yeah,
that's right. Dang. Come in my house and I'm going to shank you!
There you go.
All right.
See? That ain't no lie. You got a shank for real.
Oh, man, but yeah, no. Stupid Big Brother and all their stuff. So, Zaldor.
Yeah.
You want to wrap this ship up here, buddy?
I guess we're going to try to wrap this thing up. You know, in Detroit, they're working on trying to get some people that are talking about what they want to do with the land that's unoccupied in Detroit. They're working on it. It's going to take about maybe 2 years, 12 to 18 months, they're saying. And they had a meeting over the last couple of days, and they just had way too many people. They've got another caller. Save me for the caller. Thank you.
I can hear it. We got a caller. Just put them through. Hello, hey. You're on the Olin Ezra Show. Who's this?
Well, well, well.
Uh-oh.
Let's see if you can guess who it is.
It's not my mom.
I was listening to you talk about the nasty skank that your rack and roll show.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I tried to get my ginger love to come up on stage and make out with me, but she was too much of a pussy.
Wow, this is awkward.
All right.
I was in a cast.
This is Zena Bagger.
And I like this very much.
Zena
yes.
Bagger.
Zena, we weren't talking about you!
Oh my god, Olin just got so scared.
He turned white, whiter than he is already.
I thought that your husband's name was Bill.
She's speechless.
No.
I love you, Zena.
Oh my god.
Zena, we love you so much.
I love you too. And I was so scared that I was going to miss the show tonight because I was out, not by a computer, and I finally got home and I loaded it up, and here I am, and I'm talking to Valerie on Facebook, and she's like, oh, you got a call. I'm like, fine, I'm going to call and talk about you.
So what do you want to say about Valerie Brown?
She is the best. She is my ginger love. In an alternate universe, we are together forever, and we have cats together.
Something about the zipperfish, maybe?
Ginger zipperfish.
Ginger. She's ginger.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of ginger.
She didn't hear the word of the week. That's why we're not.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know what Zena, if you missed it, the word of the week this week is zipperfish.
Really?
Yes.
I missed that.
A typical Saturday night for Zena Bagger involves having a hearty helping of Valerie Brown zipperfish.
Or you can come over.
Thanks, Zena.
That was smooth, Zena.
Yeah, that was sweet.
Zena, you are amazing. Well, hey, everything sounds good on your end. Then, do you have any problems with the stream or anything?
No. Well, you guys were trying to do the interview thing, and that was about it. But no, everything sounds great. Crystal clear. Everything's good.
Good.
I love hearing PBR on the radio.
When is Daddy Jack's next show?
Daddy Jack's next show is. Actually, 6 months gone, CD release party, Things That Almost Killed Me. I cannot wait to hear that album. Oh, my God, it's going to kick so much ass. That is at the Bullfrog on October 2nd. We are playing with 6 months Gone, obviously, and a band out of Ann Arbor area called Something Strange. If you have not heard them, you have got to listen to this band. They are my favorite local band. They're amazing. The guitar work is awesome.
We'll check them
out. I love the singer. The lyrics are great.
I gotta check them out because I've heard you talk about them and hype them a couple times now. So,
dude, I whore them on Facebook all the time. I listen to them all the time. They're great. So when we play with them, we actually, they ended up coming onto a bill with us at Simon's a while back as like a last minute, because we had a cancellation, and they showed up and they fucking rocked it and they just blew my mind, and I was just, I've been a fan ever since. And all the guys are super cool too, so I hate playing with bands that are dicks.
Me too.
Who doesn't?
So, but sometimes you kind of have to.
Yeah.
But yeah, October 2nd, 6 months gone, CD release party. You should be there anyway just to see them play, but we'll and be there too.
And you're you're going to jet. It's at the Bullfrog.
Bullfrog.
Well, what are you doing over there, Les? She just said it was at the Bullfrog.
Sorry.
He doesn't even know. All right. So you, like, we were having a discussion the other day. You're going to jack my daddy at this show, if I understand correctly, right?
You bring him up, I will jack him. Daddy's going to get jacked.
That's all I needed.
We have a song in Daddy Jack called I Want to Jack Your Daddy, until he knows Daddy Jack.
Can you change the words to that at that show? I will make sure that I'm there at that show as long as you change the words to I will jack Olin Ezra's daddy.
I will totally sing that. I was going to sing, what's that guy? The guy whose sister got almost raped. You know, they're going to rape you. Better hide your children, hide your wife.
Antoine Dodson.
That was going to be my mic check, but yeah, that's him. But I'll totally sing the Olin Ezra, Jack Olin Ezra's daddy, he said.
By Jack, do you mean, like bone your daddy or like punch your daddy?
Well, no, it's...
Or steal him.
Jack him off. Like, there's a hand involved. Not boning anything.
Oh, like jack him off.
Come on, I'm married now. Come on.
I'm sorry. My bad.
But hand jobs are okay then.
A handy's okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I can't look him in the eye.
October 2nd.
October 2nd, Olin's going to be there getting the hand job.
We got a CD release, but I would.
So you're going to miss out, Mike.
I'm going to miss it. Sorry.
Well, hey, Zena, thanks for calling us, man. I'm glad.
No problem, dude.
Olin Ezra likes this. Right here, I like this.
No, that's
Facebook-like.
That doesn't work. You got a bagger in there.
Olin Bagger. I like Olin Ezra.
Okay.
There's only Zena
and
Clint Bagg.
Good work.
Bye, Zena.
All right, bye, Zena. We love you.
Bye, guys.
I love taking calls.
Nice.
You never know what you're gonna.
Well, you know what? This article is bullshit anyway. So we'll go ahead and go to open lines then.
Well, there's one more thing I want to touch on, and it's Codex Alimentarius. Just Google it. Google it. That's all I can say is Google it. Google it. Google it. Google it. Google it. Google it. Because in June. And a good friend of mine and one of my mentors pointed this out to me that, hey, this was already signed into law by Barack Obama. And basically what it's going to do is it's going to make things like vitamin C, zinc, iron, you know, the daily essentials. Basically, it's like, hey, you're going to go to the grocery store and you're going to buy this Frankenfood. And it's not Soylent Green, and I promise that it's not made out of people. But you're going to eat it. And pretty much to eat an organic grape, you're going to be crucified in court. So, Google it. It's Codex Alimentarius.
Well, we'll have a link on the show notes as well for
there
episode
will be,
102 at
right.
theolinezrashow.com.
That's ridiculous.
I can go into it and just bitch at all of you guys and call you awful, horrible people for not paying attention and allowing this to happen, but I'm not going to because, you know, people that are aware of this are not going to be impacted by it because they're going to do what they can do to make sure to avoid the legislation in this law. It's the people that are completely unaware and the people that think that they need somebody else to make their important life living decisions for it. Be sustainable. You know what? Grow a freaking garden. It doesn't take that much talent to grow a tomato. You go out and water it every other day and it grows by itself. You don't have to do much. And then you get something to eat out of it.
Yeah.
Go to Eastern Market. Go to Grown in Detroit's booth. You know, you get urban farmers from Detroit, Hamtramck, and Highland Park. These are people from the city that are able to make a living off of growing fruit and vegetables that don't contain altered DNA. I bet nobody out there knows that a real cantaloupe does not look like a honeycomb on the outside. That is a genetic frankenfruit, the cantaloupes you buy at Kroger. A cantaloupe has a couple of cracks. There's like two cracks in the rind of the thing. You go to Kroger and it looks like you're eating like some sort of honeycombed giant growth thing.
Yeah.
It's just amazing once you see like an organic fruit as opposed to the Kroger or Frankenmart. Whatever. It bothers me. Codex Alimentarius, check it out. There's information all over the place, and it's literally slowly going to make vitamins and minerals illegal and like drugs.
Bullshit.
I don't.
It's ridiculous.
But just check it out. Just Google it. You know.
K-Hub is
Google
actually.
Google it, bitches.
Both K-Hub and Jude. Jude's a listener, and she's the one that told me about this Codex Alimentarius. Jude's a listener, and she beat cancer. K-Hub is the show director of the Olin Ezra show, and she also beat cancer. They didn't go to Carmanos. They didn't eat chemo. They got exercise. They watched what they ate, and all of us, it went into remission.
That is amazing.
That's good.
Eat broccoli. Jeez. Eat your vegetables. Eat something that isn't. Ask Danny. She's a semi-part-time nutritionist in between drug binges.
There's a plug if I ever heard one.
Wow. It's like, whoa.
No, I'm just joking. There's really no, but no, Danny, right? I mean, am I crazy here?
Oh yeah, there's so much. I mean, goodness, that can be found just from doing, you know, looking no further than just eating healthy. And
eat some granola.
You don't even necessarily need to take any supplements on top of that. Just, you know, eat what you're supposed to.
Yeah. Eat some broccoli. Eat a carrot.
Toss in a little St. John's wort every now and then.
Put the Big Mac down, guy. And it sucks because, you know, when you're broke and it's like, hey, I got the dollar menu. What a great idea. But then, like, you know, you examine your bowel movement and realize that you just crapped out Grimace. You're like, what the fuck? Grimace just came out of my ass.
My
this is a situation.
This is horrible.
Hey,
still,
kids.
He's still purple, too.
Oh, that's nasty then.
It's a floater. It's Grimace.
It's Grimace. Oh, shit.
Son, come here. Get a look at Grimace.
Oh, okay.
He's got a Happy Meal.
He's like, what's Grimace?
How did he get a Happy Meal?
You know what? They don't have Grimace on there anymore.
They don't?
No.
I think he got cut. He got fired because of
why did they
the recession or something.
They don't have those characters anymore.
They got rid of the Hamburglar and
Grimace? Ronald McDonald's.
Ronald got tired of them upstaging them.
It's Ronald McDonald's. I don't see Grimace. I haven't seen the Hamburglar.
Man, Ronald McDonald got greedy, dude. The money has perverted Ronald McDonald, and he must be stopped.
Oh my God!
All right, we're gonna take some open lines because we're.
Hey, Dylan, what are we at? Where are we at in time, man?
Hour 23 minutes.
Wow,
this has been a very long.
This is a long show.
You guys have one. You guys have like 3 minutes here.
You guys want to do open lines? You got time right now. 313-312-4524.
And real quick, I just got a text from Phil the intern. He says I'm in Flint for the 3 days Gray show. I just want to say fuck you, hope the show goes well, and I hope you're feeling better getting raped by there's a second
caller.
So caller, put them through. Hey, you're on the Olin Ezra show. Who's this?
Red.
Oh, there we go. Hey, the Olin Ezra show. Who's this?
Red.
Red.
Michael knows who I am.
Yeah, she rocks with Jeeva, man. That's one of our Jeeva peeps. She's family.
Nice.
What's
nice.
Up, Red? How you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm good.
Good.
Michael told me I had to call in, so.
I know. I was like, you need to hit us up.
I called in.
How much did he pay you?
Only $5. $5. Times is hard. No, she's good stuff.
What do you want to talk? What do you want to talk about?
I just wanted to tell him that I cannot wait until October 1st. I can see him and rock out with him.
Isn't it October 2nd?
It'll be a fireball night.
She's talking about Muskegon. She's our Muskegon family.
Gotcha. Oh, so this is Red the Muskegon connection.
Yeah, man. No, she's a great example of, man, how the fans is what makes it happen. You know, she brought 2 people, then 3 people, then 4 people, and it grows.
That's
that grassroots way of making it happen. And so, you know, we're very grateful to have.
That's the real way, excuse me, of making it happen. I mean, my opinion anyway.
No, totally,
dude. Because,
totally.
You know, some people see some money, and then you know, all of a sudden we have another MC Hammer situation.
And they're gone.
Just, what happened?
Why'd you have to bring him MC Hammer?
Because he's got the swimming pool with his name with 24 karat gold at the bottom of it.
That's right.
And now he's preaching. That's how it happens. But yeah, no, she, Red, you rock. You know that for sure, man.
You rock.
Thank you.
Very cool.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in.
Even the boys all rock. Of course.
Of course.
So I will see you October 1st.
For sure.
So, Red, what is the craziest thing that you've ever done at a Jeeva show? Am I going to get you in trouble?
She draped an American flag over her.
No, American flags.
No American flags. We had a fireball night where I don't remember even leaving the bar.
Yeah, endorsed. We're endorsed by a whiskey company called Fireball.
I know Fireball.
And that is good. It's what their slogan is: "Taste like heaven, but burn like hell." Yeah, that's Fireball.
It's like the whiskey, the cinnamon whiskey.
It is so good. It's like one of those.
I didn't think that was still around anymore.
What is those I can't remember.
It's a Fireball.
Atomic Fireballs.
Yeah. Atomic Fireballs.
Yeah,
candy,
it's like those.
Atomic Fireball
good.
Candy.
And it's really good because red.
We had one of those tonight.
How did that end up?
I have a fifth in my freezer right now. So.
Good job, Red.
Is that why they call you Red?
It's her fiery red hair.
It's my hair.
Oh,
so
can I ask you a question?
You need to hook up with Zena Bagger.
That's right. Go ahead, Danny. Ask the question.
You know what I'm going to ask, right?
You know that Olin and I would love to answer the question, but it's much better if you ask the question.
Red?
What question? Yes.
Do the drapes match the curtain, Red?
There is no curtain rod.
No. Do the drape? Let me restate. Do the drapes match the curtains? Red.
Do the drapes match the carpet? No.
Yes, carpet.
They have no carpet. Yeah, oh, there is no carpet.
There's no carpet.
But if there was,
finish.
If there was, would they match?
It's easy. Okay. Hey, you know what, Red? It's easy to clean up spills.
Uh-oh, Mom. You better be asleep, Mom. I warned you earlier. You still listening. It's your fault.
She might call back in.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, she's going to call back in. She'll be like, what in the hell?
Zeldor has pulled the tablecloth off the table, and he's now in the corner doing something really creepy.
Turner, you should be ashamed of yourself.
I go, I told you, go to sleep. It is 9-something.
Well, hey, Red, we're going over in the show. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling in, Red.
And calling.
Thanks.
Have a good
Thank
one.
You so much.
We love you, Red. Talk to you later.
All right.
We love you, too.
All right, bye. All right.
Whew.
Big Red. Well, she's not big, is she?
No, she's a little girl.
Okay, good. No, don't. I mean Big Red in a good way.
It's a good way.
Like she lasts a long time, like the Gump. That's what I mean.
Exactly.
Long lasting.
Nice recovery, Olin.
So long lasting freshness.
Let me tell everybody once again, come to the CD release on Friday. $2 drinks from 9 to 11, September 24th at Club Luna in Royal Oak. It's going to be one heck of a party. It's going to rock. So.
And you can plug the October 1st show, too, because this is not just Detroit, Michigan.
We're trying to go global, man.
We can listen to the show anywhere in the world.
So check this out. Let me get first. At the Royal Oak show, we got this band, Gunline Band, man. They're like this hip-hop, got this like instrumental backing, guitars, keys. They're tight. Our guitarist, lead guitarist, Nick Bannon, brought them up, checked them out. They're sweet. So they're going to open up for us.
Wow.
Then you can check us out. October 2nd. Cool.
Continue. I'll finish your thought.
No,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I saw you, because it's your show.
I got the second half of the text message, and I'm outraged, but continue. Okay. We'll get to it.
October
continue
2nd.
Plugging your band.
All right, now, October 2nd, Saginaw, White's Bar. Come check that out. It's going to be cool. The Banana Convention should be the band opening up for
I remember them.
Those guys.
I go way back with them. I haven't seen them in a long time.
Zeldor, I've had enough of you and your Banana Convention.
You need to come check it out,
man.
Like I said, those guys, we did White's Bar Go-Go Festival, and it was really cool. And then we're looking at October 1st in Muskegon. So,
I got to get another caller, man. You can hear the callers coming.
I didn't get a chance to go twice. Hello, you're on the Olin Ezra Show.
Hey, Olin, what's going on?
Hey, there's Ryan B.
Connection
Fit. Oh, it sounds Jason.
No, this
Jason Kane. Hey.
Sound like Ryan
what's
B.
What's up, Rockstar? What was it like to open up for Kiss?
Oh.
Don't ask him that question.
Oh, my God,
yet.
Dude. It was something else. Unless you were there, it's hard to explain. But I tell you what, man, it was a great experience. Nice. I mean, it was amazing, dude. And I got to tell you, man, I have to thank you. I have to thank everybody in Detroit for putting us up there, because honestly, that's the reason we were there, is because everybody voted for us. They helped. They spread the word. They reposted on Facebook and
that's because
everything like that.
You know what's funny, Jay, is I remember you and I had a conversation like a couple of years ago at Blondie's about like how disgusted we were with just contests and all, you know, like they were like, God, they're so unfair. The best band never wins, and I can't even tell you, like, you know, I love you guys, and you guys are close friends of mine, but it's the right band most certainly won. I mean, you guys deserved it more than anybody else that I can think of, so.
Congrats, man. That's awesome.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, you know, and I remember that conversation very, very distinctly myself. And I'll tell you what, it's funny because, you know, at that time I was just like, I was so disgruntled because, you know, I mean,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot of battle of the bands that bands get involved in, and yeah. There's a lot of politics and things like that sometimes happen. And, but you know, it's one of those things where I like to think, you know, if you put enough hard work into it and you put positive energy out there, that hopefully someday karma will repay you for what you put out there. I mean, it's what I like to think. So, I mean, but really, it goes out to everybody who really helped and voted. And, I mean, that's what really, you know, amazed me.
That's awesome.
I mean, about the whole thing was just the support, you know what I mean? And that's what did it, you know? I mean, really, honestly, the main reason I was calling those because I wanted to congratulate you guys for the whole Tap Detroit thing you guys are doing. I mean, this is amazing that you guys are live. It sounds great. The show's been awesome. I've been listening to the whole thing tonight. I mean, you guys are kicking ass.
And we just keep going and going and going.
This show, I was telling Olin, man, earlier, bro, like, I go on Facebook because I friended him, and like, every five feeds on Facebook, it's like, Olin Ezra, you know, show, you know, interview. And I'm like, dude, how have I not got on this show yet? So thanks to my Nagy, we got on this show, and Karen, so, I mean, dude, they're doing their thing.
We're going for another hour tonight, so just stay tuned.
Uh-oh. It's my bedtime.
Oh, sweet. Very cool.
I'm sleepy.
This is news to me. Zaldor's just must be making things up as he goes along.
I'm waiting for Dylan to object.
I'm objecting. I gotta go to bed.
Yeah, Dylan doesn't.
You don't have to hear me object. I'll just turn it off.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. See, now you've made Dylan mad, Zaldor.
I know. I'm good at that.
Jeez, man. All right. So,
good to talk to you, Jason. I'll be talking to you again real soon,
dude.
Congrats
Jason,
on the kiss thing, man. That's sweet, dude. That's
thank
awesome.
You. Thank you. Thank you so much.
In a completely non-homosexual way, we absolutely, absolutely love you, bro.
Oh, hey, same here, you know. It's brotherly love, right?
Absolutely. It's not the type of
love. I love
love,
you, man, love. Man crush.
It's not the type of love that the ladies at DTE felt when you ripped that 5-minute guitar solo before Kiss went on.
That was an awesome solo, too.
Oh.
I watched
the video.
Did you
see it? Did you see the YouTube?
Yeah, I saw the
video.
Yeah.
You're disgusting, man. That's all I can say is that you guys deserve that spot, and it's good. It's good to know that you guys went there and you guys attacked it and just killed it. So,
I have one final question.
Thank you.
One final question.
Yes.
If I may, how all over Amber's ass was Gene Simmons? was he like a little bit of a dirtball? He was, wasn't he?
You know what? I didn't really get to talk with him personally, but I got
Amber
to hear secondhand through her. Oh, you know it. It's funny because she went. They had like a really like great catering, like dining room. I mean, seriously, it was awesome. I mean, like we got like lunch and dinner, right? And
did you get 222 blue M&Ms?
You know what? They did have some strange food there. They did have some very odd food there, but what was cool is they actually had, they brought in like a soft serve like Dairy Queen ice cream machine.
What?
That's amazing.
What do we got to do to get that on a rider?
That was on the Kiss rider?
It must have been. I was like, you know,
that's rock and roll.
Yeah,
ice
like there's
cream
like lunch meat.
Ice cream.
Yeah, lunch meat and chicken. And at the end of the line, there's like a big old ice cream machine. Somebody must have a sweet tooth.
And this is like an old country buffet style ice cream machine. Help yourself.
Exactly what you want to eat and what you want to eat before you go jump around and on
exactly.
stage.
Yes.
Like
exactly. But
I like it.
The meaning of the story is Amber actually went in there. She was getting a refill of some pop or something. I guess she bumped into Gene Simmons and other guitar player Tommy Thayer. And I guess she ended up, having a whole conversation with them that led up to when we did their photo shoot. Supposedly, this is the story I heard, you know, they're looking all serious, Gene, you know, taking the pictures, and we're standing in front of him. And I guess Gene was, you know, he wears like the big like armor, and he has like this big metal cod piece he wears, right?
Yeah.
I guess he started like kind of bumping up and grinding on her butt, you know, because
with the cod piece,
was, yeah,
that's not cool.
Totally.
Uh oh,
what did Amber say?
It's not cool at all.
Well, there's three pictures, and you know, two of them she managed to keep together, and one of them she couldn't hold it. She's like laughing and like kind of like, you know. But yeah. So I guess that
I don't
try giving her some. Oh, go ahead.
I don't know if you should be disgusted or if it should be a privilege that happened.
A little of both, I think.
I know. I kind of had mixed feelings about it. It's kind of like, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, well, that's kind of cool. But at the same time, it's kind of
wait a minute.
Cool.
No, that's my woman, dog. What you doing? That's my girl, Gene.
Right. You know, it's like, you
get that cod piece away from there. But wait, no, that's Gene Simmons' codpiece. Gene Simmons' codpiece. No, wait, what's happening to me? No.
Yeah.
Exactly, exactly. It's like I was completely on the fence about this. I'm like, man, that's cool, but no, that's not cool. You know, it's like, I, you know.
So you just sat there contemplating what to do the entire time. Like,
he can keep his tongue to himself. He used to tell him,
this is awesome. Yeah, no, this sucks. This is awesome. No, this sucks. This is awesome. No, it sucks.
Wait. Amber wants to tell the story. Here she is.
I can't believe he snuck away into the basement to tell my story. That is so wrong. I come down the stairs looking for him, and he doesn't answer, and I hear the show on his laptop, but he's down in the basement. And I'm like, oh, great, I'm going to listen to this and let him sit down there. Let me clarify something.
I heard you had a run-in with Gene Simmons' codpiece.
I did. I actually almost fell all the way over in the picture because of it.
Wow.
And he wasn't being sexy about it. It was more of a joke than anything else. They started bumping up against my butt, and it knocked me over. I started laughing.
It's protection. It's something that you wear. A man would wear over his genitalia to protect it. It's like a cup.
Like in war.
It's like a cup.
Like
it's like a cup. You know, like indigenous tribes of the world used to like make these ornate cod pieces that
like
they
a
wore.
Cup made out
it's
of
like
armor.
A peacock's back feathers. It's like to get
it. It was like he was fully. I did not feel anything because
I
would have been grossed out if he wasn't
piece.
Wearing that.
No, I bet you would.
Makes me gag.
It is a cod. Now do you? And then she fell over while getting.
I
bumped.
I did. I had to have them hold the picture for a second because I almost fell all the way over in the picture. So, but it was funny.
That's what.
Awesome. That's an experience, right?
So what was it like to be manhandled by Gene Simmons, Amber? You loved it.
I was not manhandled.
We're just giving you a hard time.
If you look closely in the picture, I'm trying to make sure his hand doesn't go anywhere. If you really look at it closely. I was a little afraid, actually.
Is there video of this, too?
Get out of here.
Les,
you got to stop. Les just has to stop.
He's
out of control today.
Supposedly, they wouldn't let you take video or pictures in there. And as soon as they said, well, you can't take your own pictures, then everybody broke out their phones and started taking pictures.
Of course.
But to my knowledge, there's no video of that. I wish there was, because it was funny.
That's
wasn't
great.
Sexy time, but trust me.
Amber, you guys did a great job. So thank you for calling to congratulate us, which is what Jason did, but no, and we ended up congratulating you. But hey, we got to move the show along.
Oh,
thank you.
Oh, here, let me give you back to Jay just so he can say bye, okay? We love you guys.
We love you,
Amber.
Okay, here's Jay.
All right.
Cool. Hey, you know, I wanted to say, I mean, I didn't want to divulge too much information because I'm supposed to talk to Zeldor about this tomorrow night, so.
Uh-oh.
Well, we're going to...
I didn't say it. He said it.
We're gonna leave it at that, and the rest is going to be on Zaldor's world. So, hey, Jason, we gotta hurry up the show, and we gotta run.
Jason.
But, hey, man, thanks for calling in, dude. We absolutely love you guys. Good to hear from you.
Congrats again, man.
Bye, Jay.
Hey, take it easy, guys.
See you, Jay.
See
all right. Jason came from Conniption Fit, and on that note... We,
I think that's it.
We are done. We've been running a marathon. Me and Danny need to
thanks
need to
guys
take
for
a,
listening.
A cigarette break. I think
check out theolanezrashow.com.
Theolanezrashow.com, tapdetroit.com.
Make sure you go to jivamusic.net, and we hope to see you all out. We should see you all out. The CD release this Friday at Club Luna and Royal Oak.
$2 drinks.
$2 drinks.
You can't beat that.
I mean,
that's very tempting.
Get a taxi or something. I don't know. I better see y'all there, man. I'm going to come looking for y'all. I know your faces now, so... Don't play me.
He's
just keeping
now.
It real. That's Detroit. Now I'm Kwame on y'all right now. Like, don't play me. Don't play me.
Better be there.
So
Jiva, make sure to check them out. So for myself, we just nailed, other than the technical issues, but I think we're going to have them in every episode. We just nailed episode 102 of the show, the lovely Miss Danny Catastrophe.
I can't believe this is the first time this is being said, but it is hot as balls in here.
Yeah, it's hot. It's tropical hot. And I'm black, but it's like, come on, man. It's hot. Get a fan. That's all good.
And for the creepy yet disturbing Mr. LESZALDOR.com.
I am happy to be sitting next to Miss Dani Catastrophe for the first time in the Olin Ezra Show.
Oh, we know, buddy. It's special guest Mike Turner from the band Jiva. We're going to take you out to Ecstasy by Jiva, only on the Olin Ezra Show, Detroit's Underground Talk Revolution.
Peace and grace, y'all.